And I've never done one of these, so please bear with me. If you have any tips, suggestions, I will take them gladly. But I officially call the Otter Rock Water District Board meeting on November 9th, 2021, officially started at 6:05 p.m. Can we please get a roll call online? I'm here.
Not muted, are you?
No. Beth, we can't hear you.
Help for you just to call. It would help for you just to call the names out of the board members.
Okay. Dana?
Here.
Dick?
Here.
Beth? She's here. We can't hear you.
There.
Okay. And Tom Kammerer is out, absent. Public in attendance. We have Pat Anderson, Pat Stanhart, the Mullins, and I don't know who Otter Rock is, but they're present as well.
And then we have Robert from Highland.
Yes, and Robert from Highland. So we're going to the consent agenda. Did anyone have any questions about the board summaries for the past couple months?
Well, I sent out the one for October. I didn't hear anything back via email, so. If there are no additions, can you hear me now, Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay. If there are no additions, then we can assume there's no objection to approving them.
Can we get a motion to approve the board summaries for the October?
You can do it that way, or since they're not official, we don't have to have a motion, but if you want one.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve them if that's what you want to do.
If we don't need it, then that's good.
Yes, and yeah, something like that, you can just assume it's approved because there's no objections.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go to reports, updates, and announcements. Robert, can we get the Highland Water Operators report, please?
But he'll need to unmute first.
Mute.
So for Highland Water, we have just been out there mostly for routines. Unfortunately, I went on vacation last week, but it looks like the chlorination system is not operating as well as we had hoped it would. We knew that because of just limitations on the fact that we have an 8-inch pipe with that we're trying to meter for our chlorine injection. We knew that we wouldn't be able to detect low flow. When I had gone on vacation last week, it looked like it had only pumped 500 gallons in the weekend since I did the testing and then came back to do the testing again. So we were looking into potential options, including a temporary system that just automatically injected chlorine all the time at a very small rate. And then that way we would at least have something in the water. But it does look like we're going to need to push forward on a low flow plan sooner than later, where we'll come up with something so that at the very least the Oregon Health Authority will be content. Silas wrote up a draft. And if I remember correctly, he was due to send it out sometime this week for them to confirm. And if they do, then again, they're off our back, and we don't have to worry about appeasing them, provided that we maintain some sort of chlorination system. But yeah, essentially, again, what we're looking at doing is potentially just constantly putting chlorine into the system, which means that some folks will be complaining even more so than what they already do, because there won't be a fine tuning control. So we're going to get it's at all points having something in it, which means that it could also have higher than what other people prefer. Beyond that, we still have on the books to try and get meters installed on existing homes. So that is just taking time because of some other projects that we're trying to also finish up that had other time constraints. So to my knowledge, all of our other projects are done, and I will be pushing when I get back to get that going. We have a new employee starting on this coming Monday, the 15th, who works out in Newport. And so I will be spending the week in the Newport area, training him, getting him familiar with everything so that he can take over and start saving some money with us not having to commute out as much. The other thing is that we did finish the service install for 3rd Street. I wasn't aware you guys had meter boxes, so we didn't take one. And so I'll be grabbing one when I get out there, and that'll be the last thing for it to be completely buttoned up on the system side. But otherwise, the customer can go ahead and start utilizing the water if he wanted to. Everything on the system side is plumbed in. I saw some emails about potential new service installs from the looks of it. So in one of those things, when I get back from my vacation, I'll be looking at that and working on getting them scheduled depending upon what the state of everything is.
About the chlorination levels, are you saying that you weren't able to detect it in all locations?
The one day that I came out where it only pumped 500 gallons in 4 days, we weren't getting anything detected at all, even at the first user. So we turned up the chlorine. So what we're planning on doing, I have a part that's being ordered that's essentially going to make the system think that there's water flowing through it at all times so that it is pulsing at least a little bit constantly. And then with that, we'll ensure that we have chlorine. But that means that there's a good chance that when, especially we have higher flow, we'll be pumping in way more chlorine than what you guys need, bringing the levels possibly up to a 1.5 for short periods of time. But at least this way, it'll ensure that there is always chlorine in the system. I guess one of the questions I have is, do you guys want us to now start working at a low flow option, or do you want us to go ahead and just kind of, again, get the chlorine system up and running, get OHA content, and then in a couple months, look into it? Because last month I had said that, you know, we could wait, but that has kind of changed because the system just can't detect the low flows that we have through those pipes.
Good question, but I have another question. You said that Silas was writing something to the state. Is this to gain our final approval for the system?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're pretty low, Beth. I can barely hear you, but the email to us was that he was going to, our previous approval with Jonathan's plan was approved by the state, and it he was hoping that Silas's letter this week will be all that they need to approve the final, right, Robert?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
The engineer's approval, because it's up and running and working, and mm-hmm. and that's what they approved. So we're hoping it'll go that way, and if not, he said in his email that he would work with an engineer that you guys know or that he knows that would, you know, put his stamp on it. Mm-hmm. That's what we discussed all along in this process, ongoing process. So we're close. But as far as I think we just have to go with what you're going to do there, with putting a a thing on the metering, you know, to actually just meter chlorine in until we're going to have low flows until who knows when the demand goes up again, till next spring or something.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the issues was, of course, just having no real way of tracking the data to know what our demand was, and only the short 2 weeks that we had before we went to implementation. I do have, I will have more data to log once I get on site next week, and that'll give us a lot more detail. But yeah, more than likely it is just that anything below 16 gallons a minute, which realistically that is two customers for you guys, could basically be 16 gallons a minute if they had anything on full bore.
And you'll be able to regulate with this new addition, you know, to keep it as low as we can, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a question about the Third Street hookup on the main, where you tied into the main. Is there a valve there and you're going to put a little concrete access in that, you know, where you put the saddle clamp on the main to run across under the road?
Since the service line, I mean, there is an angle stop there, and I thought I asked Tom about it. Traditionally, you wouldn't have the corp stop accessible for any reason, since the angle stop is accessible, providing a valve for the water system. If you want, we can go back in. But again, it's just not a traditional thing. And normally you would just depend upon that, the angle stop, because it, having that box, having that hole is just one more liability of something falling in, breaking it, or any number of things.
But there is a valve there on, right where you tie it into the mainland, where you put the saddle clamp on the.
Yep. There is an angle stop count.
We usually have is a concrete, you know, mm-hmm. just a concrete thing that goes down so you can actually get something in there to turn it in case we had to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you're saying we don't need that. We should just cover that in. Well, that doesn't make sense to have a valve and not be able to operate it.
I mean, the corp stops are designed as secondary valves and really should never, I mean, need to be operated short of just a emergency status. And generally, again, if you have an emergency status, you're going to be digging up that corp stop anyways to work on the line, running something under the rope or something of that nature. By having a box over it with a pipe, it gives you access, but it is still a liability at that point. The box over time failing, things falling into that pipe. For what you guys have been doing, since your primary valve has always been the mainline one, it does make sense, at least for your application. But since we are installing the meter with a full angle stop now, instead of having straight through for the customer, at least from our end, it just sounds like more of a liability. If you like, we can go in, we can get one installed real quick.
It doesn't take anything to put one of those concrete pipe there and have access to that shutoff. I mean, that's the way our whole system is anyway. That's all we have. That's most of the shutoff. I actually have them both now that we're putting in the meters. Mm-hmm. We have the corp stop, and then we have, you know, the actual meter, you know, where it has a stop on both sides of it, so you can repair it. And then if anything happens between that, you still have the corp stop at the main line, you know, to shut all, the whole thing off. So mm-hmm. I think we should keep with the same. I don't know. Is there any other input there? I think it's working for us.
It makes sense what Robert said, because he says we do have an angle stop that, in most cases, we wouldn't need to use the corp stop, but it's still available.
Well, maybe we should just make sure it's marked so we know where that's at, so we can find it, so we're not digging all over the place for it. Make sure there's a, you know.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
So currently there is a plastic or a fiberglass stake that I put into the ground to mark it. And the intention is to go in and to actually GPS it. We just didn't have it because it was in use the day I was installing things.
Okay. Yep. GPS. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, no,
20th century. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
So, if you want, I'll leave the stake there. And then, still GPS it. But yeah, I did mark it because that's I agree. That's definitely a good thing to make certain. We also do, with all of our installs, we do ensure a tracer line is run so that you can always locate the service line coming from the main and then the main itself where it's located as well.
Oh, yeah. I saw that wire there. The blue wire, right?
Correct.
Yep. Okay. Sounds good.
Excuse me. May I make a comment? This is Janice.
Yeah.
Hi. Hey, I need a little recap. So we're going to expect our chlorine level to go up over a 1 point something temporarily until Robert gets back from vacation, and then it may go back down again. Is that correct?
No, not necessarily. So right now the chlorine is still in the same state that it was. Because the sensor or the piece that I need to put in hasn't actually come in. So when it comes in, and it'll be a prime time because I will be out there for a week solid, we will be fine tuning it so that we keep at least the bare minimum chlorine residual at all times. Okay. The reason the chlorine might go over at one is if for any reason there is a high enough flow, be it fire flow or five or six people actually using a faucet at any time so that you're getting 30 gallons a minute, the chlorine pump will then start pumping to ensure that there is a sufficient chlorination for the usage that it is detectable. And depending upon, again, how much usage, it could then bump it up a good amount. My goal, though, again, is to keep that difference at bare minimum so that we have only a 0.1 or 0.2 when we can't detect the water flow. Right. That way, if it does increase. Okay. But unfortunately, any chlorine is going to always be unpleasant. So even a 1, which most cities use, is going to be way more than anybody wants.
Right. Okay, one just random question. Would that be a good time to flush the fire hydrants to increase the flow?
Flushing the fire hydrants wouldn't hurt matters at all. But if we flush the fire hydrants, all that's going to do is mess with the numbers until we actually get them fine tuned, because it's going to start kicking up all the stuff that does settle at the bottom of the pipes, which then interacts with the chlorine, deactivates it. So we have to add more to it. All the numbers wrong. We do suggest, though, we are planning on suggesting flushing the main lines here soon, but we figure get the chlorine in first.
Okay, thank you.
And wait until our spring flows are a little bit higher.
That too.
Okay, thank you.
So any other questions for me?
We didn't get any water reports. Flows or did you do a flow? I did.
I know that they did the flow test at the beginning of the month. Was that not sent out though?
Well, yeah, just for the community to know, I didn't print it out this month, but I did my own.
Oh, okay. Let me see.
From the spreadsheet that Tom sent out, it looked like he had some data on that. Mm-hmm. And it looked pretty low, but we're still got water coming through, so.
Yeah, it still looked good. Spring 2 was still really low, though, and
right.
A little concerned about its flow and where it's going, if it's going anywhere.
Still have spring 3 just in case, right?
Yeah, spring 3 is not even in use at this point. Spring 1 was at 12.5 gallons per minute when we did the reading in October. This does not include November.
It's a little higher than that now. I think they both were a little higher in spring three, stayed about the same, but they are coming back the way I, mm-hmm. in my checks, but was,
interesting. Well, so he released he sent out the October one. Spring one was at 12.5, which was less than September's flow of 16.4. Spring two was at 1.8 gallons per minute, which last month or September's was 1.9. And then of course, spring three always flows at a constant 30 gallons per minute. So it's pretty much stayed the same. So if, unfortunately, I don't have the historical data to know how good it's, when it will return, but it looks like the peak was back in May for spring two at 31 gallons a minute, and then 29 gallons a minute for spring one. So what I would say is, yeah, once we start recovering a little bit more, get back up to that 7 gallons or 12 gallons a minute on spring two, do the flushing, take advantage of, so March time, do the flushing. And then that way there's actually less of an impact as well on the reservoirs just from normal usage, and then let it recover then. Yeah, our main priority is definitely to go ahead and get that chlorination going first.
Thanks, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thanks.
Yep, thanks, Robert.
All right. You all have a good night then.
Hey, good night.
Next on the agenda is the treasurer and office report.
Okay, that's old man Cutler here. Current cash position on the treasurer's report as of the end of last month. There are four accounts totaling $172,000. And then less the prepaid water bills. And those are $9,150. I had a question on that. Earlier this week, and that's the residual, that's the unearned amount of prepayment that has gone in. As the monthly bills are billed against those prepayments, then that number comes down. And I'll give you an example. In January, the prepaids were $13,940, February $15,280, March, $14,180, April, $12,480, May, $12,480, June, $10,560, July, $10,270, August, $9,810, and in September, $8,850. And of course, in October, it was $9,150. So there's a trend that people tend to pay ahead early in the year, looks like. But again, let me emphasize that that's the unearned portion. So that's why it shows as a negative against the balance sheet. Those are things that have been prepaid and we have to deliver the service and charge accordingly. All right, in the, so the total current assets after you deducted that 9150 are 163,253. Thousand and general checking account activity, total deposits and credits in October were $18,046. Deposits and credits made to date in November on the chlorine account, excuse me, on the general account were zero. The bills paid are waiting for board approval, and we'll do that tonight, I hope. $3,256. And then the chlorination account activity. There are no deposits to speak of, 28 cents. I don't know where that came from. Deposits and credits made to date in November were zero. Bills paid or waiting board approval are $47.53. most of that is the portion of Highlands Bell that is attached. And accounts receivable. Now, what we did on this, and when I say we, I'm talking about Beth and Whitney and I one day, we took a look at all of the accounts and counted 8 accounts that were owed up to 90 days. And there were a total of 8, and the total amount owed, each one was $50. So they were paying late, basically, for $400 delinquent. Unpaid accounts over 90 days. We had 2 accounts, and everybody knows who that is, of 1,000. And we did receive 1,000 toward that account, so I brought it to that. 2 accounts that are at $50 or $100 over 90 days, and 1 account for $110. And that, I think, is the state parks, and that's kind of a snafu as far as the mailing address. So that's the treasurer's report. And let me just skip over to the profit and loss. Now, I had a, had some questions asked today about that. First one was, if you come down and you see the 4,000 accounts, and that's the very first one, it says 4,000 systems development charge. One of the people thought that by putting that in, that was overstating our usable cash, and I think that's true. And there were some discussions when the budget was put together this year as to what to do with these new development charges, and those are big ones coming in, and it was never really determined how we were going to spread that out or even what it was going to be. So this is a brand new account, and we're going to have, I think, 2 or 3 or 4 more coming from these, this development down on the loop, and also from, I think, on C Street. So that's a point of discussion, but let me just go on down. And we found, well, there are some that were pointed out that were, let me grab this one, that we didn't have any accounting number for it. Again, about halfway down page 1, our spring repairs and maintenance, we didn't have anything in the budget. And those are numbers, I'm told, that just popped up on the computer as part of the QuickBooks. And neither Beth nor Whitney could tell me exactly what happened. The same thing with the pump station expense testing, which is down a couple points down. And then down a little farther, there's notice of public meeting. We don't know where that came from. There was never any discussion or anything put in for that. And finally on, well, not finally, let's see, do I have any more? No, finally on, at the bottom of page 1, the 70-70 classification, that popped up. We didn't budget anything for any of those. Those are all old projects. And somebody who's been here longer than me can maybe figure out or explain what all that was.
Well, we did. We did budget for 70-70.
I'm sorry?
We did budget for 70-70. We have a total of 26,820 budgeted for system repairs.
Okay. All right.
We only have it showing $13.52 spent, and this is part of what we talked about a little bit last meeting, but that we have some actual repairs from one of the Highland invoices that should be allocated to system repairs and not just the additional services.
You're right. I misstated all of that. I think at the time when the budget was finally passed, that was considered, that whole thing was considered a sign of a slush fund, wasn't it?
Well, it was a number of old repair projects that we were intending to do last year, but we did not complete. And right. So like month before last, they did complete that one, that spring number three leak in the pipe was on there. That was one of our old projects that we had intended to repair. And then it got repaired just recently.
Okay. So I don't know if there are questions, but that's the extent of the treasurer's report.
I have a question about the system development charges. Yeah, I want we hired a firm to have the money set into a special account so that we would know what we, yes. We hired, we made a decision to hire, I can't remember his name, to help us spend this money that we're gonna have.
Well, this money needs to be set aside. This is-
Yes, yes, funds. I agree. And I don't know why it's showing up.
Well, we should always show all money that we bring in that comes in a month. Now, we have an option, and I've discussed this with Whitney, of setting up classes within QuickBooks to separate funds.
But we definitely need to separate this out, just like the chlorine project that still hasn't been separated out. Because they're totally different.
Is the same deal. It's, yeah. It's restricted funds also. And in fact, Moody's was it?
Yeah.
Moody.
Yeah.
He said we could put that all in the same fund, but we still need to show that money has come in every month. But I think what you're asking for possibly is to have separate P&L reports.
Yes, because we shouldn't have it on the general, because then we're going to think that we're over, you know, we have all this slush fund and we don't.
Oh, but that's pretty easy. All you have to do is subtract that out from.
Yeah, I know. But as an accountant, this is wrong. And I'm sorry, but it's just you just can't do that. If you're going to have separate accounts, you need to have separate profit and loss statements for them.
Okay, well, we're discussing that right now.
Thank you.
And I noticed that Tom on the 8th sent some information on the LB30 portion of the template for the proper accounting practices.
And the budget. Yeah.
And I think that we have to probably talk about those sometime.
I agree.
Yeah, but that would be good when Tom gets back, because he's gone in head first to the whole budget thing. So I think we should let him finish that, and he can be our budget expert.
Pat would like to ask a question. Questions?
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I would really appreciate it if the term slush fund was removed from the vocabulary when we're discussing our financial affairs. That really sounds questionable.
I'm sorry, Ben, I didn't hear. What term is that?
Slush fund.
Oh.
we don't have a slush fund. We're trying to do things legally here. The SDC monies are supposed to be kept in a totally separate bank account.
I don't think so. I think they have to be accounted for separately, but just like the chlorination thing.
I would appreciate it if the audit firm would weigh in on that question, and the audit firm should be able to help out with apparently many years of the LB 1 and 20 and 30 not being correctly filled out.
Yeah, many years.
So, Dick, I have some more questions. Can you explain why checks that were issued in October on the 12th would not have cleared by the end of the month, and what might be done to keep an eye on those things?
I think all those have now cleared, but they hadn't cleared by the end of the month because the people hadn't cashed them, the people that they went to.
Okay, that's a legitimate explanation. What about the August uncleared check for renewable resources?
I don't know about that. We'll have to
I don't know what that check is.
It's on the bank state bank reconciliation and the bank statement. Okay. Also, last question, I hope. These accounts that Dick referred to as popping up and we don't know why. What's happening to figure out what is going on with the numbering on the P&L and in the budget?
Are you're talking about the order of the accounts?
Well, yes, it would be nice if the order was fixed, but
right. So QuickBooks is a bit of a strange animal. It's not a relational database. It's a flat file database, and it doesn't really have indexing. So you have to resort. We found that to resort the accounting codes, but the budget has no feature to resort the budget. And we had already entered the new budget from the misordered account codes. So, you know, for me, this is a new learning experience. And I'm sure it will go smoother next year. We'll make sure to have the account codes in order before you build the budget. And so we've resorted the account codes, but the budget has no option to resort it. And I believe it's obvious the profit and loss report pulls it, goes first to the budget table because it's in the exact same misorder that the budget is on screen. So it would mean rebuilding that budget table. We haven't had time to do that. It doesn't mean anything on the validity of the numbers in the budget or anything. It's just the order, and it is pretty annoying because you're looking, when you get to know the accounting codes, then you're looking for them and you have to filter through it to find one.
So in July, when this was first discovered, before all these transactions for 4 months had been input, this would have been a fairly easy thing to fix. And now that we're
budget was entered, it would be the same. The budget just has to be re-entered.
This has never occurred before on QuickBooks, so I'm trying to understand why this happened this time around. And I'm also trying to understand and cannot comprehend why we bring maintenance, the pump station, and the notice of public meeting things that have popped up with no account number at all.
Well, those are old codes and they aren't in this year's budget. And I don't know why. And a little bit of research has shown that that is a common bug, and I haven't had enough time to go through their forum to look and to see why it is.
So I'm just curious.
They didn't pop up till this month, and just all of a sudden they popped up. They aren't in our budget. You can see there's been no expenses credited to them, and why they showed up all of a sudden, I don't know.
Well, they have budget numbers showing there. That's
right, but they're not in this year's budget. They're in a previous year's right. budget. Okay. They're real old accounting codes before we even had numbers on them.
So could those have been inactivated and
they're inactive in that they way? Are inactive. I don't know. Maybe we, you know, there is a procedure for QuickBooks that says to rebuild the database, and maybe that's what we need to do. Like I said, I'm not familiar with the old style flat file databases. It's not like the relational ones where you can just say re-index the thing, but okay. Maybe that's what rebuilding a flat file is the same as.
I think that was the advice that I had relayed that I had heard of how to fix this back in July, late July and August. Anyway, okay. And one more question on the systems development charge. If this is going to be in the report, should there be a zero in the column that says budget?
Yeah, you're right. There should be. That'll be pretty easy to do.
Okay. So are the budget numbers for these old accounts that have popped back up, are those numbers calculated in the totals for each of these sections of the budget?
They could be.
I don't see that they are, but I didn't go through and calculate everything.
Right. None of them are very big. I mean, it's obviously less than $1,000 all total.
Right. It's not a lot of money, but
you're right. It probably isn't. What I was hoping is we figure out how to get rid of these stupid things that popped up, and then we can print a new profit and loss effective the same date, and it should, you know, it'll give us our right numbers.
Okay.
Of course, we could dump it to a spreadsheet.
Pardon me. I'm totally opposed to that, as you well know, because spreadsheets can be manipulated. Okay. I guess one last question. Sorry, there were more than I remembered. Account 5300.2. Could you please explain that number there that is showing that 50% of the budget has been spent in 4 months of the year?
That's because Paychex still hasn't finished correcting their error from July. They have been absolutely horrible to work with, but I think we're getting really close.
Okay.
I just had another reply from them today that yeah, we need to do this. I'll have the figures to you really soon. And the day ended and they hadn't sent anything.
Were there actually two payments issued?
Yeah. Oh, and part of it is we still have to get the net payback from Whitney, but she's got it. We just...
Oh my gosh. So 4 months later...
I was so unsure about how Paychex was going to deal with this, because you see, they removed taxes and debited our account for all the taxes, both employee and employer, from our account. And it took them so long to even acknowledge that they were going to get this fixed. I mean, I had numerous emails. And so I wanted to make sure that they got these taxes refunded to us, which they partially have in two separate things without giving us any breakdown, just a lump sum. And then we're gonna get the the extra net pay back from Whitney, and then we'll be okay. We'll do it by Christmas.
But couldn't that net pay be recovered and being held in the district bank account?
Sure.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you.
I had a question about the Highland water bill. Are we charging the people for the extras, like Davis's shutoffs and other things that, you know, we are not responsible for?
The off and ons for repairs? Yeah, we do. As soon as we get the breakdown from Highland that shows us who they had to do that for.
Okay, that was it. That was all my question.
Yeah, now remember this bill that we're looking at right now is the bill that covered all of September. We still haven't gotten the October bill from them. And it looks like they're just going to be running kind of a month late. We got the September bill on the 20th of October. So
yeah,
it's going to be a little delay on some of those because we can't bill the customer for the off on fees until we know exactly which customers they are.
Yeah, I get it. I just wanted to make sure that we were billing, you know, the customers.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are there any more questions from anyone?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the treasurer's report.
What part of it? Does that include the P&L that's not correct or?
Yeah, the treasurer's report.
Well, if part of it's not correct, then we can't approve it.
No, the report part is. It gives you your totals and.
Oh, so we approved the correct part of it.
The P&L is a report from the system. I'm talking about the treasurer's report that, you know, is the outline here.
Right, that I looked over. Okay. So you made the motion, I'll second it, if I understand it right.
Okay. Everything except for the P&L, okay? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the motion has been is on the floor to approve everything but the profit and loss. Beth, how do you vote?
Yes.
Dana?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Lisa? Yes. Motion passes.
Now, does that include the bill pay or do we have to do a different for to pay the bills?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to go through that. Yes. So, I think you all received the total of the bill pay. Let me just grab the front ones here. Whoops. Okay. Right on the general bills, they're Here we go. There's a total of 3,255.10. And you can see the big one is Highland. And that's the one that we attached the invoice to. And so I suppose maybe we can do these both at the same time on the Highland, I mean, on the chlorine account. I guess I don't have that chlorine account in front of me.
It's
the small one.
That was the $4,753.03 portion of the September Highland bill for the chlorination facility, the install of the meter and the cost of the meter and everything.
I didn't hear, Beth, but did you say that was the portion from Highland and that's the only bill we have, right?
Right.
Okay.
For chlorination, yeah.
So those are the bills to be approved.
Okay, I make a motion that we pay their bills.
I'll second it.
I vote yes. Dick?
Yes.
Dana?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Motion is approved to pay our bills. Are there any other questions before we move on to facilities and maintenance?
I have none.
Do we have a facilities and maintenance update?
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
When's that after the morning surf gonna do the, have they done worked up at the tank farm or?
You guys need to get out of your house and cruise the community. You ought to look at the tank farm. It's really cleaned up nice. I was up there, I supervised it. George did a great job.
Great.
And I approved his work, and you should be getting the district should be getting a bill for the work that he gave us an estimate for. So he said he wasn't sure if he'd get here by tonight, but he said it was okay if it goes till next bill pay approval, I guess. But
the
district will be receiving a bill for that. And if you've been to the community center, so you've seen what's been done there, and
I think that needs to be mentioned that was primarily done by Mr. Taylor himself. And I was by there a couple times when he was working on it. And I just want to commend him for the job that he's done there.
I thank you for that. And I'm glad it's all ready. I cleaned the gutters one more time just to be sure with the alder leaves falling. And should take note of that alder tree to the north side with the three tops in it. The one major top, you see when they get a saddle in them, they rot in those saddles. Mm-hmm. Eventually one of those will crack off or all of them will break off. And the one leaning towards the community center is tall enough to fall on the community center. So maybe make a note that should be addressed sometime.
Is that tree on our property?
Oh yeah, it's right at the back of the sand filter or the drainage. You know, it's right. It's probably what 50 feet or something, and it's tall enough to, and it's leaning that way, the one top of it. And someone pointed that out to me. I don't know if it was Craig or not, but after looking at it again, I thought, yeah, I should mention that. But yeah, we should be good till next spring there.
When do you think that ought to be done?
Well, we just look at the growth, you know, when spring comes on, if we have a little warmer spring, you know, just watch it. And then I told George that we'd have him come by and give us an estimate on, you know, to keep it maintained. It shouldn't be as much, you know, once it's done. And he said that about the tank farm too, having come up to do that again. He said, now that it's all down, that catching it before it overgrows again.
No, I was asking about specifically about that tree, the alder tree.
Oh.
How long do you, I mean, should we be getting on that now in your opinion, or? Cause
I have no idea. I think a tree, you could get a tree guy to come out and freely give you an estimate and, or give a look at it to see if, you know, if it is rotted and, you know, if it might, you know, crack off or break off and.
Right.
But maybe have a tree guy come and take a look at it. You know, the guy next to the community center there, he had those tree guys come out. And I think Piggy had him come out and top a few trees and bring them down around her place. So maybe give you an estimate of the cost and just the shape of the tree. I think they do that for free.
Right. I think I can't remember. Was it Oregon Tree Service or something we've had out year before last? They did some work for us.
I would like to make suggest that maybe we consider opening the community center up to the community again. You know, I don't know what the liabilities are. I don't see where they're any different now. I mean, now that things are a lot better.
What news are you reading, Dana?
I'm reading the real news. I'm looking at the real facts. You know. Not to just Oregon Democratic facts, you know, the Democratic states.
Well, how about the WHO?
Beyond what's put on the national news.
There was just there was just something out on that. They're beginning to see another surge in other places like England. They did the same thing. They thought they were on the downhill slide and they started relaxing things again. And here comes another surge. So.
The vaccine is supposed to cure everything, I thought. I thought the vaccine was a cure-all, but now there's boosters and the vaccine's not working, so there has to be boosters.
It's not lasting is what it is.
Oh.
But also, we have a very low percentage vaccinated, so they're the ones spreading it all over the place.
Okay, so who regulates, it's the board who's in control of opening the community center or regulating the use, right? So.
It opens up a whole can of worms because all of the major people are requiring vaccinations. And I don't know if we want to go down that road and I don't know who's going to regulate that. And that's just, you know, not until this stuff goes down. I'm sorry. You know, it's just no.
Okay.
It's just a can of worms that we cannot be liable for.
I'm not feeling any love and support, so I'll pass on this one.
Thank you, Dana.
All right. I just wanted to put a feeler out there. So, all right. So next on the agenda.
Is the engineer quotes on state of approval of chlorination facilities, which I believe.
Yeah, we may not need to do if Highland works their magic.
Robert about that. About maybe Silas just being able to write the letter and getting this week.
Yeah, let's let that play out and see where that goes.
Next on the agenda is the financial audit.
Yeah, so I just thought it's getting worked on. They contacted me and wanted to meet with some of us. And I thought Lisa would be a good candidate, but she said she didn't want to meet.
I said I could meet during lunchtime, but I didn't have any questions.
Right. And so then he contacted me and said, well, when can you meet? And turns out I snared Dick to do it because the only time they could meet was when I was already scheduled to be down at the office and Dick was there. And I said, hey, you know, I brought my laptop down and we did a little Zoom and it was a bit of a, I sent an email out to the board, but it was a bit of a interview, which I wasn't quite expecting. And we're working on the list. I don't know if those of you on the board looked at all the items on the preparation checklist, but I guess we've gotten past section 1 and 2, and now we just have section 3, and they want to read all our minutes from the fiscal year they're looking at, which we have a few gaps, unfortunately, and I'm working on. So hopefully I'll get through some of those, writing up some summaries. And we're gonna start looking at the rest of it, because there's quite a few things that they want to be looking at, besides the fact that they have a copy of QuickBooks and they're able to look at all of that and get all the regular QuickBooks reports out.
Conditions of this.
So that's about all I know on that one.
Shall be incorporated into other records.
Well, thank you, Beth, for your help. And if I can help, you know, on a Sunday or whatever, help you, you know, just let me know. But honestly, I don't know where in the office stuff it is. So, you know, but I'm more than willing to help.
Right. Well, a lot of it's, you know, we have like bank statements. We have most of those electronic. So, but we just have to, you know, gather them all so we can upload those, and that's on the computer. So I'm not quite sure. And the only thing I realized I failed to ask is when they expected to need all those things in section 3. So I may shoot off a question about that to Acuity.
Yeah, in my experience, when they want something, they just send you a list and say, hey, you know, we need this by this date. And then you just comply, but this could be totally different.
Right, but there's a lot of stuff in here. So, you know, I don't want to be caught with it, you know, well, we need this, you know, in 4 days, and it's like, you know, 10 days worth of work. If you're working and I'm supposed to be retired, I mean, what's that about?
So, yeah.
That's all I got.
Does anyone have any questions? Okay, do we have any other correspondence?
Yeah, there's probably one thing I should mention. We got a notice from the IRS last week, I think, that some form was not filed regarding federal unemployment, and I shot it off to Paychecks, and they went, oh. So, and what was more intriguing is that the IRS is saying, well, you have a $126 credit, but we can't give it to you until you file this form. So Paychex apparently had some of our information wrong, and they've been taking out for federal unemployment when they shouldn't. And now, mind you, this notice from the IRS is from tax year 2020, last year. So anyway, they say they're going to take care of that, so hopefully they will. Other than that, luckily we haven't seen any other correspondence.
Okay, and I don't think we got anything in the emails, so it's a quiet time. Next order of business is the ordinance 2017-02 with the water shutoffs.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And I brought this up because I have talked to former board members, and it was their intention, even though it's not spelled out, that I know it was their intention to have, when we shut off water, that the people that we turn it back on pay a year's worth of fees along with the water shutoff fees and the reconnect fees.
Right. So it would total $600, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It was 500 plus 50 plus 50.
Yes.
That's how it was explained to me by a former board member, even though it doesn't really say that, which to me just comes to our ordinances are in horrible shape. Every time I look at them to figure out, try to figure out something, I see how much they need to be rewritten.
So I would like it if we could start fixing this one, and instead of putting a dollar amount, put, because hopefully in the near future, or well, unhopefully, but hopefully in the near future, we will get the system started and our monthly fees will go up. And so we put in, instead of a dollar figure, because that's hopefully going to go up, or unhopefully, that we put in a year's worth of fees instead of a dollar amount, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
our...
that's possible, but I don't know if even a year is worth it. I mean, we maybe should go higher. We may say a year is the minimum. And go up to 2 years worth of water usage, because we have too many people wanting to do a seasonal shutoff, a seasonal type shutoff. We could really get hurt on our revenue.
I like the way you think.
And we still have to maintain the system for all those connections, whether they're on or off, or whether they're really using the water or not. We still have to maintain the system for however number of connections we have. I think we ought, my idea on this is that we start looking at a rewrite of all of our active ordinances and putting them all into one. And I would actually go further and like to have it start looking more like the cities and the counties do, where they have, you know, each city and county has their code, county code, and they've got it divided into chapters. And anytime they write an ordinance that changes anything in there, they're writing part of that affected chapter. And so they're always referencing the existing language. And if you look at our ordinances, 2017-02 gets amended in 1703 and 1704, and they don't reference, and that's where they did that seasonal shutoff thing, but they didn't reference the whole language. They just kind of said, well, it just kind of means this. And I think if we did it more like the county does it in the cities, we'd be way better off. And we could do the thing where we codify it. We add those ordinances that change the existing thing. As long as we annotate them and say when they were changed by what ordinance number, we can put them in one document and just update that document. Maybe kind of like going back to what they used to call the bylaws, but have it in chapters and be able to update it that way. You still have to do an ordinance to make a change, but you can incorporate it into a main document that way, so that you can actually read and know what the rules and regulations are. That's my idea.
Sounds good to me. I think Tom, is Tom working on that, or is that just out there?
I haven't heard that. He hasn't said he's working on that.
Shut off ordinances. Okay.
I'll
look into it. I'll talk to Tom about it and see what, I'll see if I can reference all the ordinances. I got a couple of them right here. I was just looking at the one that we're talking about tonight, but.
Well, it's not just one of them.
There's more reference in 03 and 04 too, so.
Right, then that's the problem, it's kind of a hodgepodge patchwork thing right now, and it would sure be nice to have it straightened out and
Well, it's there, but it's hard to understand in its condition as it is.
Right. Yeah, and there's some things, and you know, Tom and I have emailed a little bit about the SDC and the that's I think in three different ordinances, and the more you read all those, the more it sounds like one thing, and then it sounds like something else, and then it sounds like something else, and so that would be very helpful to get that straightened out too. So maybe we can all just kind of sit down and make some notes out about it and share it and have that be a winter chore.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Is there any more discussion? No? Okay. Then does anyone have anything on ordinances? We talked about them, so.
Right, we don't have any written up to pass or to
discuss. And we don't have any new resolutions.
Nope.
We are now at the exciting part of public comments. Canon Steady, Mullins, do you want to say anything?
I don't see any hands raised.
Nope, it's all quiet tonight. Board member comments.
Hello, I'm sorry. I was late. I'm eating pizza right now, actually. Yeah, I sent, I used the part of the Otter Rock, Water District webpage, mm-hmm. which says you could have an item added to the agenda. I wrote that out. And I don't know if Tom saw it. I'm assuming he did, or if other members, but my point has been outlined to all of you individually or as a group about our main over here. And, you know, I don't really have anything else to add to it, except if you look back at what I've written to you, you can see my concern. If you'd like to discuss it, I'd appreciate if you look back at what I sent to you. And basically, that's all I have to say. Excuse me, I'm choking here. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Right, and I think, didn't Tom answer you back, or Dana, did you answer him back?
Tom sent me some information that was from
It was Tom.
The 70s or earlier.
Yeah.
But that's not what is currently happening.
Yeah. Well, I think it's something
I would suggest, if you take the suggestion, is if Tom and one other member could come meet me sometime, maybe I could, a visual might work better.
Uh-huh.
That sounds good. I don't hear any volunteers, but I'd be glad to.
Not here, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just any other two members.
Right. Well, I think he and Dana probably know the layout, but I'd be willing to go. I like field trips, so.
There you go.
I'll go too.
Come to the north side.
Come to the north side.
Anyway, I don't want to keep pushing this, but I think it's something that you might want to look at. So you can get a hold of me pretty much anytime.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, we have to have a discussion because, you know, you can't have more than two members at a time. So,
well, you can for some things.
If you're not
making decisions and stuff, for learning purposes, or, you know, yeah, you can have more than two board members.
Okay, so we should. So we should. I'll write an email out, and, you know, when Tom gets back, we can all decide on the time. Hopefully, it'll be a time that I can come. But if not, I totally understand because my schedule is wonky, and I get it. But I do think that we should look into this and get all on the same page.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, if you guys are interested in going out for a walk, you should check out the tank farm because it's really clear and easy to walk around and inspect everything, the large tank, and just see how everything functions up there. And the spring two area.
So, well, I haven't got my padded hat out yet to protect me from the hail, so. That sounds good. I'll make sure and try to do that.
Yeah, Dana, do we have to start worrying about spring two?
Well, I got some information from Craig, who's been around a while and knows the system on that. And evidently, I guess it'd been a year or two ago when we had huge flows, you know, huge winter runoff. And they were, according to the story Craig tells us, Buzz had shut the flow to the tank farm and was just using the overflow at the spring there, you know, where the two pipes come out that you can visually see from the road. And the flow was so much that year, there was so much groundwater and so much flow into the spring that it actually started bubbling up outside of the spring box. My concern would be that from hearing this, and he actually alerted me to this, I didn't even think of it right off, that possibly that the spring has chosen a different path, has decided to go a different path in our actual spring box, you know, that because of that, you know, extrusion of water that came out around outside of the box, out of the ground, you know. Wow. And the flow being so less this year and looked like declining each year and not coming back as rapidly. I mean, spring one's already started to come back noticeably, but two is still down, that we might investigate why that is. I mean, we have plenty of water, but we should still, you know, keep our spring two source available and functional. So I'm not sure if we need to have someone come in and look at it to see if that's what's happened and it's not, you know, going into our spring box and just bypassing it, or that's my concern there. But when he told me that story where it was bubbling out of the ground, well, clearly if it's bubbling out of the ground outside of the box, it's not going in the box and in our service line to our tank farm.
Right. It was my understanding from Alan Neem that basically spring three was coming from the same water source as spring two was.
I'm kind of wondering that because spring three just never changes. It is just constant, even through the low period there, it was still at 30 gallons, you know, or
yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah. I mean, barely, you know, I don't even know if it got to 20. I think it got 29 one month, but now it's back up to, I think it's higher than it was. I think it's 34. I think Craig and I just checked it a few days ago and it's at 34 now. So, yeah. So maybe we have to look at just using a pump and water. I mean, that's enough for all year long for us, even in the low periods.
Right. Well, it's nice to know it's always there in case the other two wimp out. And the only drawback is that we have to run a pump to use it, right?
Yeah, so far for the record for the year, spring one has kept up and barely kept up in that lean part. What was that, August or September? And mm-hmm. Spring two was barely producing. So, but we still had, you know, spring one was still, you know, making the go, and we still had a little overflow from the big tank.
Yeah. Okay.
Does anyone else have any more board questions? comments?
Concerns? Actually, I thought about this and then I forgot about it. My suggestions for breaking out the repair costs from the previous Highland invoice, that repair on Spring 3. I send the email out. I know that Tom had a few concerns about one part of it, but how do the other members feel about doing that? I'm getting really tired. Am I explaining myself right?
Well, I agreed with you, Beth. I think we talked there at the office about it.
Agreeing.
So I think you know my feelings on it, that it should be put in the right categories. We have a chlorination fund, and that's where, you know, that, you know, things for that they do for the chlorination and the testing and installation and whatever has to do is we have a fund for the chlorination system. And I was looking at also on some of the testing, you know, that, you know, we have a testing budgeted for testing that some of this should.
Well, that testing's a little different. You know, someone asked me about that earlier and I didn't all click till later, but the amount we have budgeted for water testing is the lab costs for analyzing the tests. And the money for collecting the water was built into the Highland additional services for any testing other than our regular monthly testing.
Oh, okay. So we'll still separate the two, right?
We don't need to separate them out of Highland, I don't think, for testing.
Well, I saw in the Highland bill was what did I do with that? Yeah, it was let's see, on the 15th, he picked up lead and copper bottles for something and, you know, goes on about lead and copper bottles. Is that some kind of different test, you know, in the...
That is, but Tom, remember Tom, when we were doing budgeting, he calculated the amount of testing we'd have to do, which would come under their additional services, because our basic services count for one collection of regular water testing a month.
Right. And so,
anything additional, like our repeat triggered tests are under additional services, and our special testing for like lead and copper. And there's some of that stuff we don't have to do all the time, but, you know, they have different schedules. But Tom went through that whole thing and worked that out and figured out, you know, that was part of what he built into the estimate for Highland additional services.
Okay, so Tom's got it dialed. So yeah, he separated the Highland cost versus the lab cost.
Yeah, so I don't think there's anything else on testing we need to figure out, because it's all been accounted for.
I mean, okay, so the residual chlorine testing by Highland and that was not in the chlorination, but that goes underneath the chlorination, I would assume.
Well, that's operating expenses. Huh?
That's part of the operating of the chlorination system, and the chlorination system itself is the residual testing.
Right, but we don't have a separate fund for operating the chlorination. We only have a separate thing for constructing it, putting it in place.
Oh, that doesn't include the operation and the chlorine and all that of the system?
It's just, no, that would be under, that was supposed to be under additional services.
How come that's not part of the chlorination system?
Well, it is part of the chlorination, but the donation, are you talking about the money that we got donated?
Right.
Chlorination, that was to construct it, to build it, to put
it. Well,
that's
only for the construction part.
Not for ongoing operations.
Oh, really? It was designated as that and not the and no operation in that at all?
No.
Okay, I wasn't familiar with that. I thought it was all part of the, you know, the one, you know.
No, it was not. And they said if we didn't spend it all on constructing the chlorination system, that it should go to a new tank. So it's going to be, you know, it can go in with the SDC money that's for the new tank that'll increase.
Oh, okay. So yeah, the upgrade. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
But as far as, is there any objection to the, for us on accounting for these, that I think it was the August bill of breaking out those expenses for the spring repair, like I outlined in the spreadsheet? I mean, Dana, you're saying you agree with me. What do you feel, yeah. Lisa?
Without Tom's knowledge of the budget, I agree. We need to move those charges to the. We need to move them off Highland and into the sections right. of.
Well, we got the answer from them on the budget that no, since they're listed separately.
No, the budget. You know, the Tom's conversations with the guru budget. You know,
right.
They might have yeah.
Well, they already said since it. The way it's listed, yes, we would have to do a resolution to move funds around. We just can't, you know, so we can't go over the Highland additional services without doing a formal resolution.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the charge, moving the charges. I agree. We should put them where they are appropriate in the budget.
Okay. We'll do that then. Thanks.
Dick, I assume you're good with that.
Oh, well, I've already talked to him about it. Yeah, Dick, sorry.
I'm sorry.
I think he agrees. Whoops, you got muted.
Okay.
Dick, you're on mute. Can get it. Now we lost his video.
Okay, back.
There he is.
I haven't been able to hear for the last 20 minutes. I'm really.
Uh-oh. Well, that's three of us agree with it. I'll talk again with Dick if he can't get back on tonight here. But he and I already did discuss it. It's not a major thing we need. We don't need a motion or anything for, so.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Does anyone have any objections that we in this Otter Rock Water Board at 7:32 p.m.?
No, I approve. I definitely approve.
Okay, this is one of the shortest meetings, and I thank you and good night.
Thank good night. You, everybody. 7:33.